Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, it is thy good pleasure that thou would see thy children gather before thee. And so we take again this opportunity in this afternoon hour, thanking thee for the beautiful day you have provided, an opportunity to gather quietly and unmolested. And as we look into thy word this afternoon, Father, we pray you'll bless our being together. And so we commit this time into thy care and keeping, trusting that the leading of the Holy Spirit will guide and direct the thoughts, and that we might dismiss the cares of this life, meditate upon your word as thou wouldst have it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help this afternoon, I would like to read out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to begin reading with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death until he come. And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and that he come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we can gather together in the house of prayer, round about thy precious and living word, to receive from thee. And truly, Lord, everything that we have is a gift from thee. Thou art so good to us and has blessed us in abundance, particularly as we have heard this morning of the great love through Jesus Christ our Lord, that thou hast given us freely to enjoy and to be received by thee. We pray, O Lord, as we would gather together again around about thy word, that thy spirit would lead each and every one of our hearts and be with our brother as he would meditate upon the scripture that is before us, that we might have an understanding and appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, thy word is yet again a mirror that we might examine our hearts with thy Holy Spirit and thy word before us in honesty and sincerity and humility. Dear God, Please be our guide and keeper. Thou art our salvation. And outside of thee, there is no hope. So we pray that we would be found in thee and not in the world, in the darkness that is going to receive a just recompense of their deeds. We pray, dear Lord, that thou would be with each and every one that has come together to hear thy word. Be with our dear youth. May the love of Jesus Christ be that guiding light and beacon, that anchor of the soul that would help and direct their path, not according to their own wisdom, but according to the wisdom that is found in thy word, that it might be well with them, and that it might be well with each of us as we embrace and love Jesus Christ and love and help one another. We pray thy blessing upon us in this afternoon hour. Guide us and keep us in thy loving care. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning hour, we was blessed by the word that God had given us through our brother to remind us of the death and the passion, the sufferings that our Lord and Savior went through, all because he loved us and he came and he died for us. And as we read in the Gospels, every one of them point out the fact how he had to suffer, what he went through, spit on him, mocked him, put robe on him, numbers of things that just humiliated any way that they could. The God of creation, the one that has created them, and yet they, as it says there, they hated him without a cause. And so here we read in this afternoon where the Apostle Paul reminds us of that cruel cross that he went through, how he shed his blood, and how he died for us, and that we should remember this. The way that he wants us to remember this is, of course, through what we know as Holy Communion. All of us that are converted, been baptized, we know what Holy Communion means and what it is to us. But for my friends outside of Christ, and you're not sure, you don't know exactly what the Holy Communion is about, let me explain a little bit of it to you. You probably won't appreciate the words that we have read here, nor what the message maybe was this morning. But we are to be reminded from time to time of the crucifixion, how he died and shed his blood for us. And he wants us to always remember this. Do this, as he says here, as often as ye would, do it in remembrance of him. And so, as you are not familiar with this, because you have never been converted, because you have never experienced being and having communion with the believers, you see, it's a closed communion. It's for brothers and sisters that are in the Lord. It's not for everybody. And I believe that we can base that on the scriptures simply because if we read in the Gospels, especially Luke and Matthew, write about, they got the 12 together. They went to share the supper of the Passover, and then that's when he instituted this communion service that we know as, where he broke the bread and he gave them the wine to drink, representing his blood. So he did that only with his 12. He didn't do it with the many he followed and gathered and followed him. Because the reason for that was probably there were many there that were not worthy. And that's what he talks about here. The Apostle Paul reminds us, those that are not worthy better not be taking communion, because you're bringing damnation upon yourself. You're not regarding the body. You don't know what you're doing for sure. You have not experienced what it means to accept the blood of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and as you wash your sins away. That's never happened to you, so you can't appreciate what this Holy Communion means like those of us that are converted, and we do. And so if the good Lord's willing and we have baptism next week, that's what we have plans to do. After the afternoon service, as normal, have a communion service for members only, for those that are worthy. Now, you might say, well, my life is, I got problems or whatever, I can't, I'm not worthy. No, don't let Satan convince you, don't let Satan confuse you that you're not worthy of this. Because if you're a child of God, you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in his shed blood, you've been baptized in the likeness of his death, you are worthy. That's it. For those that are unworthy are those that have never accepted this plan of salvation. And this is what he's warning here, that yes, those of you that have not done, you're not worthy. But those of us that are brothers and sisters, don't let Satan confuse you. Don't let Satan think, well, now this coronavirus is going to cause problems and I ain't taking communion. That's Satan telling you that. Don't believe him. Don't listen to him. Because he will try to disrupt you in any way he can. And he'll try to convince you that you're not worthy. Maybe because something that you said to somebody or something you've done. And so, look at you, you're not worthy. No, don't believe that. If you have caused offense or you have had something that you feel you ain't quite right, then yes, make it right. Don't wait until the last minute, now you're going to make it right. No. The Bible says, if your brother offends you, you go to him. It don't say wait for several weeks. It don't say come back next year. It don't say wait to go to the minister. It don't say go to the elder. It says go to your brother and make right. And that's what you're to do. And if that's the case, you should have done that long before this coming Sunday. It's as simple as that. And we need to be reminded about that because this supper, this Holy Supper, is very precious to us. It means something to us. And we do it because we want to remember what Christ has done for us. Just as we heard this morning, we were reminded very vividly what the Lord had to go through for you and for me. Because he loved us. He came down from heaven, the splendor of heaven. He had everything he ever wanted. He made everything. And he came down to be on this earth like a man, like you and I, to experience what takes place. Not that he don't already know. God knows our hearts. He knows our mind. He knows our lives. God knows it. But so that we know and understand that what he went through, he can explain and we can understand it because he went through it. So we can't say, oh God, you're the almighty God, you don't understand. No, we cannot say that. Jesus Christ came, and that's why he's our advocate. That's why he intercedes for us. And he does for every one of us when we fail in some way or another. And if we do fail, then we need to make that right with our Lord. Make it right with your brother, whatever the case might be. And this is why he's saying here then that we should eat of this bread and drink of this cup and to shew the Lord's death until he comes. And then he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So you see, what's come of the church here in Corinth is they neglected to understand. They neglected maybe to realize and exhibit in their lives maybe that the Lord has saved them, that they're to live a life pleasing, a godly life, pleasing in his sight. Because they become weak and sickly. And part of the reason is because they maybe Satan convinced them that they are not worthy of this, and so they refused to take it, and they wouldn't take it for fear of damnation to themselves. No, they were confused about it. That's why the Apostle Paul writes this about us and to us, so that we understand, so that we don't get confused, and so that we will accept this Holy Communion as part of our lives, as essential to the life of a believer, that we can be reminded And so oft times, it's when we have a communion service, it's quiet. There's no hardly any disturbance whatsoever. You can concentrate on what you're doing. When you break the bread, you concentrate on his broken body, that he broke. It was broken for you and for me. And so we, with a deep meditation, we can meditate upon that. And then we take the wine, and we take the wine being the fruit of the vine, we take that, we take the swallow, and it reminds us of his blood that was shed for us. And sometimes the wine might be real bitter, but remember what bitterness he went through. And so why would we complain because the wine is a little bit bitter? No, we take it, and we take it with a deep concern that this represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And do this as often as you will, that you are reminded of his death and his shed blood for us. This was instituted, as we see, we can read in the book of Matthew, and coming back to this, as they got together, it says in verse 20 in chapter 26, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one shall betray me." So when he got together, as we heard about it this morning, and he shared this meal with them, and that's when he told them that one's going to betray you, and the one that dipped with him was going to be the one. Sad story. Sad case. It says it would have been better for him never to have been born than to do what he did. So the seriousness, that means the seriousness of this betrayal. And so as they sat together, it says, "And then as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." A very solemn time with him and his 12 disciples. This was his last days on this earth. He wanted to establish this Last Supper, if you will, as we know it. He wanted to establish this with his disciples because it was so meaningful. And they did. And that's why they could write about it later. And it meant as much to them as it does to us today. It's never diminished. It's never lost its meaningfulness to any believer in Christ. And so this is why he established this, for us to be reminded. This, he says, as he says, this do as often as you will. So dearly beloved, as we read this here in Corinthians, it's a reminder of us. He talks about different gatherings and having a meal together in the church and so forth. But he's reminding us here, though, that we should, because the Apostle Paul reiterates the words of our Lord about this supper. He brought it to their attention, to the Corinthians. And so this is why he says then to them, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of God, of the Lord." So it's a very meaningful thing. But when he says, "Examine yourself, so let everyone eat the bread and drink of that cup," he also writes in chapter 15, I think it is, in 13 or 15 in Corinthians, and he says to them, "Examine yourself and see that you're in the faith." How do we do that? How do we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith? Well, I can't examine you and see if you're in the faith. You have to examine yourself. I examine myself. And the way that we do that, we look at our lives. Are we living the way God wants us to? Are we loving our Lord as we should? Are we loving our brother as we should? Are we serving him as we read in the book of Romans, all the things, all the different gifts that different ones have? Are we accomplishing all of that? Are we living that way? Or are we just simply content that we can come here Sunday morning, you see me, I got to church, I come in the afternoon, and then we go and that's it. Is that the end of our Christian life? Not at all. That should not be at all. That's why we examine ourselves, not for Sunday morning and afternoon and evening, but for the days to come. Examine yourself. Are you loving your neighbor as you should? Are you kind? Are you patient? Are you all of these things pertaining to our life, our daily life? That's the part that we have to examine. Is it look? Does it represent Christ? Are we actually his ambassadors, representing what our Lord and Savior really is all about? You see, this is what it means for us to examine ourselves and to see if we are in the faith. And of course, we want to believe. Every one of us believe that we are, yes, in fact, in the faith. And so we do. And so as individuals, we serve each other. As individuals, we live our godly lives, but then as collectively, we are a brotherhood. We are one in spirit, we are one in the body, and we all represent Jesus Christ in one way or another. Whether we serve this way or that way, it makes no difference. The point being that we serve the Lord to the best of our abilities and our capabilities. Granted, not everybody is able to stand up here and preach. Not everybody has the gift of giving, for an example. You might just barely make ends meet in your income. How are you going to give? But there's still ways that you can examine yourself and to see what the Lord would have you for in your life and in my life. I have to do this all the time. And so I sometimes are not so pleasing. Sometimes, to be quite honest, I am ashamed of myself because of the way maybe some of the things I might have said is not conducive to being a good, sound Christian. And so you have to repent from this. That's where we repent from this, ask God to forgive us, prepare so that we are what we feel worthy, if you will, to come and take communion. But we must not let Satan discourage us in this. I know there are probably some that are concerned about this COVID-19. That might be. But dearly beloved, we can't go by what the media teaches us. We can't go by what the government's saying, all these things that are happening. That might be. But think about it. How many people do you know, how many do I know, that's died from this, that has contracted this disease? I know some of my own relatives are in the nursing, in the hospital stuff. They come in contact. They don't feel that they have it, but they are guarding and doing everything they can to avoid it. We can't live in this fear that we're going to get this. We can't live in this fear that because we're all together, this is going to be spread and we're going to... Where's our trust in the Lord in this? How can we say, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, but I don't want to get the coronavirus. I'm afraid I'm not going to get it, so I'm going to stay away. I'm not going to take communion. I don't want to get the coronavirus. Come on. You got to put your trust in the Lord. That's all there is to it. That's bottom line. Trust God that you're just, if he wants you to get it, I've said before, you're going to get it. Whether you're here, there, or anywhere, it doesn't make any difference. If you're going to get it, it's going to happen to you. But if you're not, you trust him. He's helped you to avoid it. You've learned to take your and keep your immune system up. There's ways that we can help avoid this. That's true. Don't be afraid to do that. But don't have the fear that you're going to die, that you're going to get this, and it's going to No, I'm sorry. I don't believe that we as believers in Jesus Christ have any right to have that fear and doubts in our minds about this coronavirus. I'm sorry. I just don't agree with it. And I believe that it's hyped up way far more than it ought to be. Not deny it. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying that it is not out there. It is out there. Yes, it's happening. And there are people getting sick. But examine who it is. Who's dying from this? A lot of it's old people that are already sick. This is happening. And they're labeling. In fact, I understand some of the places when these people die, they make them stamp it. You died from coronas. Excuse me? Never had it. No, that's okay. Stamp it. That's what you died from. Brings up the numbers so that these are people that are keeping track of this can say, okay, the numbers, look at them, they're going up. No. You don't know what to believe some of this stuff. But what you do need to know, what you do need to believe is Jesus Christ, God will save you, God will protect you. If you don't believe that, then you probably stand a good chance of getting it. You got to trust Him. You got to believe in Him. And so I believe that's why I say we are worthy. God loves us. He cares for us. He's going to look out for us. Yes, we got to look out for us. We can't just be negligent. We can't just go do whatever is unnecessary and say, God's with me. That's like going down the highway 100 miles an hour and say, oh, God's going to protect me. Wait a minute. You don't tempt God at 100 miles an hour in the highway. No, you don't do things like that. You don't tempt the Lord. We know. We got a brain. We know what to do. We got to live accordingly. But we don't dare diminish our faith and our trust in living God, in Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe, that when we are reminded through communion, we are reminded of His blood that was shed for us and for our sins, and that we are a part of His body. We are members of His. We need to remember that. We need to have that kind of faith, that kind of trust in our living God. And so if we can believe that and we can trust in Him, then certainly we will have well judged ourselves. We will well examined ourselves. We won't need to be judged, as he mentions here. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And that's what it's all about. Examine ourselves, look at ourselves, and make any adjustments that necessarily needs to be there. And so as he encourages us there, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order. So the Apostle Paul encourages the Corinthians as well as he's encouraged us here. We're coming up next week, Lord willing, for this baptism, and we all would love to have communion. Don't let don't let the evil one discourage you in any way. May God bless these words upon our hearts.
Speaks of the two themes of remembering the Lord's suffering and the Lord's correction. He says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And further on down it says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." May God bless his word. Amen.